There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
I'm Doug Steffen here to explore what's going on in your life, in your brain. It's the mind over matter, things like trust. Let me introduce you to Laura Schwamm, who is a master psychic healer. So I want to get to that. You're certified by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners, graduate of the Ohm Wellness School in New York. You are down in St. Augustine. There are some wonderful spiritual experiences to be had in that great old American community, are there not, Laura?
Yes, there are. Though I have to say, it really hasn't been cultivated that much. There are a lot of little businesses popping up, but the people down here are still pretty much old world and old school, like living the way, this was a farm town. Mm-hmm. So they weren't really educated about higher consciousness and living from a more spiritual way. It's not that they're not religious. They believe in a higher power. They just don't know how to apply it to their life yet.
So let's, like New York. That brings up something very important. The difference between being religious and being spiritual. One can go with the other, but not always does the other go with the one. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the reason why is because most people have been taught that God is something that lives outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in life and they're struggling with finances and relationship problems and bad health and just things that we all have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, they don't know how to apply those spiritual teachings to their life, opposed to spirituality that teaches one how to apply the principles that are in spiritual doctrine, that we actually are able to tap into that knowledge and utilize it to navigate our life successfully.
So you describe yourself as a psychic medium, certified holistic health coach. I like those terms because they seem to be so descriptive. Whenever I have somebody on who claims to be a psychic medium or have psychic powers, I always ask them to explain in their own words, what does that mean? What does it mean to you to be a psychic medium?
Okay, so I'm the type of medium that I will not all the time be able to tap into someone that died and passed over, which is a lot of times how people associate the word medium. I am a master psychic healer that is able to channel higher information into me, and I tell people what their unconscious habits, conditions, and reflexes are that block them from manifesting, because we're constantly in a state of co-creation with our creator and the universe. So when we don't like things that manifest, such as relationships that go wrong or money problems or health problems and everything else, we have to realize that we're the ones that are actually making those manifestations happen. So again, I'm telling people what their unconscious spiritual, which is psychological, blocks are that prevent them from manifesting the life that they want to have. And as a certified holistic health coach, I tell people how to heal their imbalances, because a lot of times well, all the time, actually, psychological and spiritual imbalances that go untreated cause physical imbalances mm-hmm. within the body. So they need to be treated with a protocol that is going to recondition their body and their mind to actually work together.
The so-called spirit-mind-body connection. That's really what the conscious person is aware of, how the spirit feeds the mind and the mind feeds the body, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. But we don't realize that a lot of times that we're feeding our body through, like, it's our environment that is uh-huh. telling us who we are, what we're capable of, what we can have, and then our thoughts become in alignment with what's going on within our outer world and mm-hmm. not really what we're capable of.
Thoughts are things. So let me give you I'll give you an example. I don't mind putting myself on the block here. I do often when it comes to things that I want people to gain information I would like to have people gain from. I put myself out as someone who's had experience A, B, and C. And one of the reasons, I don't think it's a secret, that I'm interested in this sort of thing is because I've had my own issues during my life, and I have found that through lots of different therapy, I believe that the mind should be treated as the body. So you have therapy, you go to doctors for your body, why not go to doctors for your mind? It's the same principle as far as I'm concerned. And through the course of my life, I've had many things. I've been a curious sort. I mean, inquisitive. That's my Scorpio nature. I'm a detective. I always want to get to the bottom of things. And so in trying to find out what it is in my life that is challenging or get to the bottom, I know it's challenging. I just don't know how to sometimes always get to the bottom line. Emotional issues, and yeah, you refer to energy blockages. There are things we all have to deal with, money issues and love issues and health issues and that sort of thing. And everybody that I hear from says, yep, you got to change your thoughts. Okay, swell. How do we do that? That's the thing that becomes, I think that's the missing ingredient for most people who do what you do. They tell you, yep, you got to do this, 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 and this. Okay, how do I do it?
Not when they come to me, because they get a full protocol. The first protocol when someone comes to see me is they get a psychic reading that tells them about their awarenesses mm-hmm. and what their spiritual blocks are. The second part of that protocol is actually a healing, which I use crystals, tuning forks, oils, and other herbs as a cleansing. And the third part is they leave with the protocol. And the protocol is not just holistic, but it's spiritual. As I mentioned before, it is our environment a lot of times that dictates what our reality is. And after a while, we begin to walk from those structures and those limitations that other people have put on us when we're at work.
What you grow up around, who you work with, that sort of thing.
All of it. All of it. So we have to then incorporate, if a person has gone through physical abuse and trauma, they need to actually do body-mind medicine to recondition the body-mind connection through yoga, through energy psychology, through the Alexander technique, because there's actual things that need to be changed within the body. If a person's been abused, their posture is off. Mm-hmm. They don't hold themselves upright. They're holding tension and energy in places in their body that they don't even know anymore. They also don't realize that certain habits become just automatic, such as volunteering to do things that they don't want. People that don't like themselves then tend to feel obligated, and they don't realize they want to be liked so much that they begin to volunteer. That's the person that volunteers to bake all the cupcakes all the time, but they don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. They just want to be liked. So that's automatic. So it's, again, I tell people what their unconscious habits, conditions, and reflexes are. Now, a reflex would be, I just automatically did that. I didn't really want to do that, but I grew up in an environment where I got my love from doing. So again, we need to put things in placement. So it's not just retraining the body-mind connection through physical body work, But it's actually those people that grew up without an identity, if they grew up, let's just say, in an alcoholic family, or they grew up without a parent, or they grew up without the support. Again, and support, it's not a blame game, but many people don't grow up without support. So we then have to heal that aspect. And we obviously can't go back in time to our parents to heal it. So you heal that aspect through being out in the community, through joining things, through being interactive in life again and seeing yourself different. Healing comes in seeing the Holy Spirit work through you and in your environment to bring you the things that you need that are going to help support you and grow you financially, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually.
All right.
So it's
Schwamm,
a full protocol.
If you go to pureenergyhealer.com, pureenergyhealer.com, you'll find out more about Laura, how she works. If you're intrigued, and then that's a good place for you to go. We continue our conversation. I find this very intriguing. My father was an orphan and didn't have any ability to be intimate. He didn't have a sense of how to love, and therefore was a failure with my mother, who also came from a rather strange background. And so the two of them together are like a collision course for dysfunction. But then you look into most of our families and we'll find dysfunction pretty much everywhere. So it's learning how to deal with the, if you want to, if you don't want to, and you're sort of stuck in stuff. But people, if they understand the dysfunction, maybe can better help themselves to getting away from it. Or is that too easy?
No, I think that is right. To first of all, you have to understand where it came from, because in any healing protocol, we ask you to do different things, which means that you're going to be uncomfortable. So if you at least say, if you sit down in a session, and I've never heard of that, but that is something that I actually do, but I do it psychically. I'll tell the person where their imbalances came from. For instance, my father had cancer 13 times, and my mother was as mentally sick as my father was physically sick, where she tried to kill me several times.
Good
and
God.
I was isolated from school because I couldn't learn in school. I kept going in and out of consciousness because when you're in survival mode, you're not paying attention to math or English. You're more paying attention to how the teacher's holding the ruler and her tone of voice.
Yeah.
So I didn't learn. And so I was isolated at home and in school. And so I suffered psychic trauma. And so I had to recondition a lot. My gifts come from mainly healing. A master psychic healer means I know from witnessing and going through it myself a lot, or I'm in the process of still healing myself because I'm not 100% healed. So it's like, but you're absolutely, absolutely, absolutely right. I think that if I didn't know where it came from, I would blame myself. Like,
a lot of people do.
I would then copy my parents' habits. Again, which my father was an alcoholic, though he was the nicest man you'd ever want to meet, and he skipped grades in school. He just didn't like himself, and his actions were in alignment with that, and I repeated that. So we don't realize. So first it's awareness, but why it's not as complete, and that's why you're like, is that too easy? It's not that it's too easy. It's just not complete, because then the person needs to say, well, I grew up this way, but what habits, conditions, and reflexes did I form because I grew up this way? What am I doing? How am I undervaluing myself? How am I treating myself health-wise, emotionally-wise? What are my thoughts? What are my beliefs about the world? Again, how distorted are my perceptions about myself and the world around me? It's like first doing that work, and then again adding the protocol, you know, to in order for healing, which is either body mind work, nutrition, sometimes a conjunction of everything, holistic and spiritual practices that are going to align. But you know, it's a journey, it's something that's ongoing, and you see the results as you begin. You don't have to be 100% healed to see, which is the good news.
So one of the things I'll leave us all with and thinking through what you have said in this last half hour, how do we get this into our healthcare system? How do we get this kind of information, this kind of help? I think it's not a question that we can answer here, but I do think it's a question that is begged after having a conversation with someone like you. Laura, thank you. Laura Schwamm is if you go to her website, pureenergyhealer.com, it'll help you out a lot.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I was surprised at myself how much energy I had. And, you know, I'm doing two jobs, running around like a maniac, and I was able to handle it. Really, I'm like, wow, this stuff is really good. So, you know, more than anything else, it's it just gave me the extra energy and the well-being, feeling of well-being that I don't think I would have without it.
Well, I take it every day, and I feel great. And my wife looks at me and says, how come you never get sick? And I do. It's because I take the fruits and veggies.
I just feel a lot better. My life has turned around. Everything is working for me.
It just helps me feel good. I just think the products are wonderful, and I take them every day. I just like it. It works.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
Uri Geller joins us now from his home in Israel. I would start with saying, before we get to you and what's going on, there's a movie out in America now called Raid on Antibes. Back to the 1970s when that Air France plane was hijacked by the terrorists, and they had, I think there were 83 Jews on the plane, and they were isolated, and there was a whole bunch of hoopla about it, and the Israelis went in and actually captured the plane. Do you remember? You must remember that whole situation. I remembered it, but now I know more about what happened after seeing the movie. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, well, not only I remember it, but if you get on my website and you watch the documentary that is called The Secret Life of Uri Geller, you will see how I was indirectly involved with that operation. I won't mention it on the air because I can't really talk about it, but the people who talk about that operation and my involvement are individuals who were interviewed for that documentary called The Secret Life of Uri Geller, which was actually directed by an Oscar-winning director called Vikram Jayanti. You will find it fascinating. Yeah. I heard that the movie you're talking about doesn't quite, this is someone's opinion that it's not exactly correct, or it makes certain assumptions. Some people say it's true, some people say it's not, but, anything that is controversial will be talked about.
Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of that, I'm looking at the story from 48 Hours this week, and the intro to the show is as follows. In the 1970s, a handsome ex-Israeli army paratrooper popularized extrasensory perception, and then they go on to tell the story about you, claiming you could bend spoons with your mind, see inside sealed containers, read other people's minds. Yeah. So there's like 7 or 8 minutes of that in the Sunday morning piece that was done. I think it's also on 48 Hours as well. So why the re-interest in this at this point?
The re-interest, Doug, comes because there are quite a few books now being published and are on bookshelves that actually describe exactly what happened in the early 70s with mind power and the government. You cannot discount these books. They are not controversial. They're real. You cannot say, oh, this didn't happen, because the people who were interviewed for these books are all high CIA officials, national security agents, et cetera, government, Pentagon. And it is true, and it has been exposed, that the government took great interest in what I did at that time. That's why, hence the studying mind power, telepathy, psychokinesis. And as a matter of fact, the reason there is this great interest now, and I don't know about 48 Hours, how big CBS and 48 Hours is, but I started yesterday suddenly getting emails from strangers, hundreds. Oh, Uri, we saw you. I remember you from the 70s, so I realized that there was some television show.
Yeah,
I didn't know that so many millions of people watch CBS 48 Hours. But the CIA, 8 months ago, released all the secret documents about the studies that they conducted with me. That's on my website. They not only released the written documents, but also the drawings, the secret drawings they did with me. On my website, you will find a high CIA officer, who is a doctor today, talk about an experiment he did with me while he was sitting in Langley, Virginia, and I was in Palo Alto, California, and I drew exactly what he was thinking about. And, you know, those times there were no mobile phones, there was no FaceTime, there was no internet, so there's no way of cheating. And he was so impressed, he was very high in the echelons of the CIA, that that's what triggered this major, major study of the human brain and how it can help militarily the armed forces, Navy, Air Force, Army, with telepathy and mind power. So that's why this renewed interest.
So this comes as a result also of that book by Annie Jacobson called Phenomena. I'm just looking at the other things that came out of this overview on 48 Hours and then the Sunday morning CBS show. Offstage, they say, you caught the eye of the intelligence community. Scientists considering if he can read minds, why not use it for government officials, that sort of thing. And then now the stuff that they have comes from the declassification, as you were saying, mostly focused on you, but a few others as well. But I think you were the one that had the most notoriety. You were probably the best known anyway of these people. And is the idea of whether or not they talk about how you can not turn it on or turn it off, but you're like everybody else. There isn't always a constant stream of energy that is the same. Some days are better than others, right?
Yeah.
In terms of being able to do this.
That's true. And absolutely. This is why I had problems on Johnny Carson, where he kind of exhibited skepticism and kind of scoffed. And I sat there for 22 minutes humiliated. A spoon in the hand of an actor bent a little. It wasn't enough for him. And, you know, you have to be open-minded when you deal with extrasensory perception because it's a very delicate kind of an energy. But by the way, Doug, the military went so far to ask us to actually now hold your seat because what I'm about to tell you is so far out. They wanted a group of psychics to disappear an entire city. Did you hear that? An entire city with the power of the mind. And they thought it's possible because some of the tests that were conducted on me with MI5 in Britain, a very famous American scientist studied me there called David Bohm, the Bohm effect. He was a good friend of Albert Einstein, demonstrated that if small particles can disappear, then why not big things disappear? I mean, it's really mind-boggling, Doug. The secret stuff I know and I still can't talk about is just so freaky that in today's day and age, you will think that it's taken out of some big science fiction field. But it's not science fiction. The mind is powerful. The mind is the most powerful computer in the universe. Let's talk about it more next week, okay?
All right. Good to have that focus, though, and to see what's going on. I like watching the video, frankly. It brought back some memories of you and I when we first met. It's kind of it's cool, actually. Very, very cool. Uri Geller's website is URIGELLER.com. Introducing to you Mary O'Malley, who is our psychic medium, a psychic scout. Well, actually, go to psychicscout.com. And you can help yourself change the way you think about things. And then what you do and the business about attraction, you may have heard us earlier, Mary, talking to that lady who is an energy healer, and the perceptions that we have, what we get mm-hmm. from our lives, the poor experiences that we grow up on, sometimes reflect back. And so she claims that she can help people by getting the focus. And I was bringing up constellation therapy. And so you're the person I know the best who does this one-on-one with people. But can you do it in a group? Do you have to do what you do, specializing in an individual's transitions in life, moving from one to the, you know, one area mm-hmm. to another area, if you will? Can you do it in a group, or does it have to be one-on-one to be effective?
No, it can be done in a group. It just depends on how it's presented. You can have a theme, but the important thing is everybody looks at themselves. You know, it might be a group endeavor, but each person is an individual. And yeah. so, you know, guiding them through finding out what their soul, their higher consciousness is telling them. But yeah, it can be done in a group.
So have you ever done
it? It's really effective too.
Is it? In what way? How would you advise somebody to work with if they're attracted? People everywhere want to use the intuitive arts to enhance mm-hmm. their reality. We just do. We want to know about our life in this life. We want to know about our past lives. And sometimes you can do that in a good session with someone like you. You can also go back into what's called the Akashic Records. Do you need somebody who specializes to bring you back to that, or can you read some of this stuff somewhere?
Yes, all of that. There's a lot of books out there. You can do it for yourself. It is helpful, at least in the beginning, to have a guide to answer questions along the way. I always suggest starting with someone as your guide. It helps you stay focused. It helps you answer questions, know how to ask questions. But a lot of people are able to do it for themselves. They get the concept right away.
But I think when it comes to that, you can get all kinds of ideas. And this is why I would suggest that you go to somebody like MaryPsychicScout.com, because you can get this information, but then it's sort of like any teaching experience. You need to have somebody who's been there and done that, someone who can help explain. Because in my experience, I'm just talking about me now, I had mm-hmm. more questions than I had answers going that way. I think you need to go that way, but then I think you got to find somebody that can help you. And it's not something that you simplistically do in one session, 1 hour. Okay, here's the story of your life. No, if you're really going to dig into this, you really have to dedicate yourself to it, right?
You do. You need to stay focused, and it's much easier if you have a person in front of you answering questions. It's so kind of esoteric that mm-hmm. sometimes it's hard to believe it's a real experience. Mm-hmm. So having someone there with you can help to verify what you're experiencing. And once again, each person is unique, and their experience will be unique. So that needs to be witnessed.
As a reader, do you ever get scared with something that you saw or heard or felt about someone you were trying to help?
I guess I could say I've become uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And, when I'm uncomfortable, don't know what to do about something, I always ask Spirit to help guide me in that. Mm-hmm. And so my mouth will open and words will come out, and I'm always really grateful for that. It does occasionally, the person's asking a question, but I see that there's so much more, and we need to back up a little bit to get to the actual question to see that the question is asked appropriately. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen, yes.
Go to PsychicScout.com, PsychicScout, Scout.com, and if you mention this program, you get a $25 discount in the connection to Mary O'Malley, award-winning hypnotherapist and psychic medium. The transition from one part of your life to another is important. Get it straight with Mary. Maria Francesca Trilogy is here, and she's our resident astrologer. Want to talk about what happens when the spring equinox, which starts this week, that is, we go into springtime, and immediately after that, It's followed by Mercury going into retrograde. This is something that happens three times a year for usually, what, about 3 weeks? And we have the same discussion. It's good for some people, not good for other people. So what does it mean when I tell my lawyer not to sign any contracts between now and, what, the third week of April? How long does this last, and what does it mean?
Well, first of all, the equinoxes, especially the spring equinoxes, you know, it's considered springing forward. So this is when we get the energy to move forward, to start new projects, to plant seeds, to, you know, if we go back to the Farmer's Almanac, this was their time to get out there and take a look at what they did want to plant. So exciting, you know, energizing. Well, on the heels of that, which doesn't happen, I mean, it happens occasionally, but not like all the time, there will be a Mercury retrograde on March 22nd. So that's 2 days later.
Yeah, so here we are already
jump ahead, and we can't.
Mm-hmm.
So with Mercury retrograde, in especially in fire signs, which it is this year, and will be in the sign of Aries starting March 22nd all the way to April the 15th, it's time to pull back a little bit. And so it's waiting until, I mean, it doesn't mean you're just never going to leave the house or, you know, not go to work or stop what you're doing. But it isn't going to feel like the spring equinox usually does, where you are all energized and ready to jump out there and start something new. Or like you say, hey, are we going to sign the contract now? You know, the recommendation always is when Mercury's retrograde is to make sure all your, you know, I's are dotted and T's are crossed and everything is in order, especially when Mercury is retrograde in fire.
All right. So can we assume, because it happens three times a year, that it will happen in the fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius? Is that where they'll
that
show up this year?
That is absolutely right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be...
It's going to be one of those years. It's going to be interesting, you know, as we get all fired up here. Mm-hmm. And it brings a little bit of impatience when it isn't a fire sign. You know?
So, impatience toward what? Relationships, business, all aspects of life?
All of the above.
Right.
You know, an overall feeling of this desire to, you know, to just keep on moving forward. And I think anything that when we think about a retrograde, if you even look up the word,
it's backwards, moving backwards.
Backwards. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's time for reviewing. That's all it is.
What do you advise, though, to people who are your clients? How do you advise them? Okay, so you told them that Mercury's going to go retrograde right after the equinox, and you know, don't sign any, start any new things and that sort of thing. But are there other things where this manifests? Is it, you know, a lot of times fire signs say they do better when Mercury's in retrograde. I've heard that from people that I've known that were fire signs. We do better.
Well, so doing better does not necessarily mean that they are running to move forward. They may do better because it gives them an opportunity to just calm themselves enough to take another look at something, because fire signs are always ready to just jump right in. So, could bring that kind of energy in a different way.
Maria is offering spring equinox readings. And if you go to the blog, spiritmindbodyworks.wordpress.com, you'll be enlightened greatly. spiritmindbodyworks.wordpress.com.